Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. The third question, and what we're seeing quite a lot of right now, is obviously there's a lot of solar projects, there's a lot of awareness of the risk aligned to working on a roof. I think there's a serious amount of catastrophic injury and in some cases fatalities that are occurring because people fall through a roof. So we are seeing a lot of consideration to roof lifelines at the moment. Let's maybe just touch on what should the audience consider. I mean, it's quite a daunting task. I mean, you'll get people that say, listen, just put this cable up there and connect it, and we've just spoken about the forces.
Yeah.
If it's not designed and appropriately certified, it won't remove the forces.
Right.
But are there other considerations they need to start with before they even get to the point of asking about roof lifelines?
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, we need to look at the structure that the roof's been, that the roof sheeting's laying on. Is that structure sound? So usually we'll say that a structural engineer needs to come out and just make sure that what we're installing on is sound and will be able to withstand the forces if there were to be a fall.
And I mean, that should be already a box that's been ticked, especially if they've already installed solar, because solar is slightly different. It's a heavy system that's continuously on.
Right.
So I think, would we be in a space to say, well, it can hold the solar, probably it should be good for permanent lifelines?
So generally, if the roof can, if you can install solar panels on the roof, then yeah, it's fit, and we can look at installing a lifeline system onto that. So that would then tick the boxes.
Okay. And the next one is talking about the actual roof sheeting, because we don't think about roof sheeting. It gets installed, sometimes it leaks, we fix it. What are the considerations that the audience should be taking if they are deciding to put lifelines on their roof linked to the roof sheeting itself?
So obviously the age of the roof sheeting, how long ago was the roof sheeting installed? And also keeping in mind that roof sheeting is continuously exposed to the elements. It's continuously battered by the sun, by rain, hail. So the chances are that there's going to be a roof sheet that might be flimsy or weak is there, and we need to consider that. So when someone's working on a roof, first of all, they need to be connected the entire time to a system, because usually the perceived risk is falling off the edge, but there is definitely a risk of falling through the roof sheeting as well.
Yeah, I can definitely back that comment up, because we did a job where I had to walk on the roof, and I mean, there was no polycarbonate sheeting, it was all solid roof. And as you walked on these ridges or on the peaks of the IBR sheeting, you could feel it indent.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was strong enough to hold somebody's weight. But to your point, if there's been an IBR sheeting out there for 3, 4, 5, 10 years, the constant, I mean, South Africa's got some serious sunlight and UV damage.
Yeah.
That is something. So how can they get around that? Because, I mean, you also need to be practical about this. You can't go and test every single inch of that roof. How are we able to make sure that whatever is installed, is it a case of we drill through the roof into the structure? Because that, for me, sounds like it's going to be stronger. Is that an appropriate way?
So generally not, because that's going to open up other challenges as well, such as leaks. So there's a waterproofing issue with that. So generally, if you're going to drill through the roof, there's the risk of leaks. So we need to look at waterproofing. And then there's also the chance of a hit and miss. So we don't always know where the IBR sheeting is. So there's a chance that we could drill through and not find the IBR sheeting.
You mean the I-beam?
The I-beam.
So now, I mean, what's the alternative to that? Because I fully agree, if you go through the sheeting, the last thing you want is we've done this whole project and now there's a huge leak and it damages inside.
Yeah.
The other side is just the irritation of not hitting a beam or getting to the right beam.
Right.
How do we work around that?
Right.
We've spoken about the IBR sheeting or the roof being exposed to this harsh daily environment. Now we go and install a system that is designed to stop somebody from dying by being connected to it. What is the certainty? I mean, how do you know that system, nobody gets to decide, you mentioned it earlier, nobody decides this is when I'm going to fall, this is where I'm going to fall. Falls happen without any expectation of them. How do you make sure that system works appropriately in the event of a fall?
Right. So I think us working with a manufacturer like 3M gives us quite a lot of certainty. Not just that, but they also give us a 10-year warranty on their systems. So you know that for the next 10 years, that system is going to work as it's designed to work. There's no guessing. You don't have to install a system and try and hope that it works. You know that system's going to work as it's designed to work.
And, I mean, a 10-year lifespan is serious for that kind of forces and to make sure it works. How does one look after those systems and make sure that they are in good functioning order should they experience a fall?
Yeah, so they need to be certified by an OEM annually. And if you are in an extremely harsh environment, then perhaps we could look at doing it even more frequently than that, just to make sure that system is still in good working condition.
Fantastic. Cool. So I think the last question and the last point we're going to touch on is the cost, because that's always where the conversation leads to.
Yeah.
I think it's vital that we talk about three costs. One is the project cost. So when you're looking at installing a proper system, the one is the project cost. And quite often what we see is somebody wants to make a sale, so they try and make it easier or cheaper, whatever the entry point is to secure that business. They try and make it cheaper by saying, we're not going to run a lifeline. We're going to reduce the cost. We'll just put anchor points on your roof. That will then let the person, because you go up there once or twice a year, the person going up there can just connect to the system as they go.
Mm.
Talk to me from a price point. Is that something that's a viable way to reduce costs when it comes to permanent lifelines?
In my opinion, no. When we look at a system, usually the cable isn't the most expensive part of the system. So you might be cutting off 10,000-15,000 rand off the price, but is it really worth it? I think the system isn't as practical anymore when we remove the cable, because your anchor points might be, say, 20 meters apart, and now you've got to connect to the one system, walk with a 20-meter rope to the next system. What happens if you fall at 18 meters? Then you've got 18 meters of rope behind you that's not connected to anything, that's slacked.
And even if it is connected to the first anchor point, I mean, we've spoken about 1 meter falling, creating 1 ton.
Yeah.
18 meters starts creating catastrophic sized forces.
Yeah, for sure. And whether the anchor point will be able to hold that, I don't know, because that force is going to be extremely high. And then the other risk is obviously hitting the floor from that height.
For sure. Tell me, so you're talking as if the person has fallen through the IBR sheeting. Quite often we see there's this viewpoint of, we need to stop the person from falling over the sides.
Mm.
Is falling through sheeting a risk?
Definitely.
Why?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, sheets is continuously exposed to the UV rays, to the elements, and it gets weaker over time. So you step on one flimsy sheet and there you go through the sheeting. So we need to make sure that we connect it to a proper system the entire time that we're working on a roof, because we don't know where that flimsy sheet is.
Yeah, and quite sadly, I mean, I was exposed to it with one of a manufacturer in South Africa, where they had actually painted over their polycarbonate sheeting, which is obviously a skylight and it's designed to let light in, and painting over it, the person can't see the difference between polycarb or regular IBR sheeting. Yeah. And the reality is polycarb is not designed for a human to stand on.
For sure.
And that then immediately gives way and the person fell through, and unfortunately was a fatal incident.
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today.
I think
it's really been valuable to hear and see what you're doing on site. Yeah. I think everybody that gets to experience the demonstrations you're busy carrying out on site are getting tremendous value.
Mm.
So keep it up.
Thank you. I appreciate it and I look forward to it.
Cool. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.